Indeed, if you do the work to come to an awareness of a God of your understanding, you will not be alone ever, not for a minute. I'm most grateful that I have had the opportunity to do that work. And yet the work keeps unfolding in all kinds of ways. I have the opportunity to do this work every hour of the day. You know, there are all kinds of books out there, my goodness. And there was a book that came to my attention that has some pretty interesting things in it. As I often say, we continue to read. We are lifelong learners. And most of the time, it's not because we expect to learn something brand startling new, but to encounter a different kind of roadmap, to open up an awareness of something we might already know but have forgotten, or a book that can be a companion for new work that you want to take on. It's always great to have these companions with us. One that got my attention visually, you can't see from there, but the full title of this book is Punch Fear in the Face, Escape the Average, Do Work That Matters, Start. And I guess for me, the great big letters in red, the subtext is, for the love of God, start! So if we haven't started our work to escape the average and do work that matters, I guess the question is, why not? Why haven't we? It's not just about a career choice. Because it's rewarding, and oh my God, do I know the joy of rewarding work. But in some ways, a job is a job is a job, unless you see it as a divine appointment. And there is that possibility in every kind of work, that when you show up at the office, as Denise was singing, it doesn't matter if it's in a classroom or the pulpit, but when you show up for life in any context, it is your opportunity to see this moment as a divine appointment, to be putting into life the qualities of the things that you want to experience most of all in your minute-by-minute living. Why don't we do that? Why don't we recognize the moment for what it is? Well, because there are so many distractions. There are so many things that holler at us that not only might we not see this as a divine appointment, but it can be pretty craven, actually. Nevertheless, it is. And we can take any of these moments and begin where we are to create the life that our heart is asking us to create. Why don't we start? Then why don't you start? Because you're waiting for the time to be right. You're waiting for somebody else to retire. You're waiting for another business to go out of business before you step out and do your own. You're waiting for God knows what. Sometimes we have these excuses in our mind, and sometimes, most of the time, we probably don't. We don't even articulate what the excuse is about what we're waiting for. But we have these excuses. And again, it's not just about the office. What are you waiting for in terms of your relationships? What are you waiting for in terms of even picking up a hobby that you tell yourself that, oh, I love to do that, and I'm going to get around to doing that? Well, why not? Why not? Well, I don't have time. Yes, you do have time. Everybody has the same amount of time. Some people get an awful lot done in that same amount of time. And this is one of those Sundays where I'm really talking to myself. that great philosophical teacher, also known as pop star Madonna, has a great song, and I don't remember what the title of the song is, but the refrain of the song is, "Time moves on so slowly for those who wait." Time moves on so slowly for those who wait. Time moves actually quite quickly for those who are busy. And what we all know is that the busier you are, the more stuff you get done. That is the nature of life. That is how life works. If we assume a position where we are going to move slowly because we have unarticulated fears, then we will have the experience of being slow and of waiting. Suffice it to say, whatever we're waiting for, it ain't coming. That is not the answer. And I know I've said this before, but you know, at root, there is a great truth in the fairy tales that we know about. But we take the fairy tale story of Sleeping Beauty or Snow White or what's Cinderella. We take, live at the effect level of those stories. And all these women are waiting for some man to make it okay. Well, he's not coming. The deep truth with it is that when you get right with the energy within you that gets stuff done is when you have an understanding of your own wholeness and you can accomplish whatever it is you set out to accomplish. That is what the truth is beneath these stories. And that's the truth of us. We can live at a superficial level, or we can dig deep and understand that there is a wholeness within us. There is everything that we require to live our lives according to the way that we want to, if we would acknowledge it. Years ago, there was a pretty popular book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And this morning, I happened to be watching, I almost never watch Sunday morning before I come, but they were interviewing Hillary Clinton, and they played a tape from, I guess she was the valedictorian when she graduated from Wellesley in 1969, and she said, "Fear will always," in 1969, she said, "Fear will always be with us. We don't have the luxury of waiting." And I went, ooh, that's good. There's an element of truth and that fear will always be with us. And in one way, we do not have the luxury of waiting because every moment we wait is a moment unrealized. Time is something that we do not have control over. None of us know what we've been given. We have certain interests. We have astonishing abilities. Every single person here has astonishing abilities. We have certain interests, and those things are known to us. If we are brave, we ask ourselves to tell the truth about ourselves, which takes some courage. But there's also that element of time, and we do not know how long that arc is. I think we need to act as if, like, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me bring something new to this day. Let me bring something really fresh to this day. And if there is some element of fear, find out what you're really afraid of. Get more information about the thing that we've convinced ourselves that we're afraid of. And here's the other thing. Sometimes if we do that work, which very often we have the opportunity, or we always have the opportunity to do that by means of the classes that we teach and take, even by this experience here, there's a moment where you might be reflective and think, well, what am I really afraid of? All right. We might get some clarity about that kind of thing. And yet we still might be shy about stepping out into the larger world that we say we really want to live in. Well, what is that resistance about? I think we want a guarantee that it's going to be worth it. Well, if I do this, you know, I better have that money back guarantee that if I'm going to put, you know, this much effort into something, I really want to know. Well, as every good investment broker will tell you, results may vary. Past performance might not be an indication of future performance. What can I tell you? That's the planet we live on. Sometimes things pay off handsomely. Sometimes there's a bust. It's true even for farmers. You go decades with a good citrus crop, and then one year there can be a killing frost, and there's zero. Anybody ever had a killing frost in their life? Hello. But you know about that because you've also had plenty in your life at some point. Everybody has. It's that one bad experience that we seem to want to carry with us, and that's our choice. That's our choice. So we can choose to not go there. Simply choose to not go there. And to be ever more mindful, make it a practice to be ever more mindful of all the things that are right in your life, all the things that are good, all the qualities that you do have, knowing, assuring yourself that it will always be worth it. I know this to be true. I wouldn't have the nerve to stand here on Sundays and talk about any of these things unless I was sure of a couple of simple ideas. And one of them is, in the fullness of time, all experience pays off. There is not one moment that is ever wasted in creative pursuit. Not one moment. There's not one experience that doesn't contribute to making you smarter, more capable, and able to achieve. Everything that we've done in our past places us on a threshold which is so much more sophisticated and empowered than if we had not had that experience. I know this sounds like a total joke, but it's absolute truth. Most minister types at this point in America, or I should say the average seminarian, including rabbis, is a woman who is 55 years old. That's most people enter ministry when they're around 50 now. And I think about that, because that was my case. I think about that, and I think, like, I don't know how anybody could work in a church if they had not been a bartender. On a day-to-day basis, that is the single experience that I call into play most often. I don't know how you could possibly do it. I'm not being facetious. I also had the pleasure of being involved in television production for a while, and that's the other thing. If you've never been in show business, I don't know, I cannot imagine how you could conceive of doing creative work such as this. But that's me. I only say that to, like, when I was tending bar, let's say there were times of great despair. Thinking, oh my God, I didn't work this hard to get here. You know, like, is this as good as it's going to be for me? And yet, it's a moment in my life that I treasure and I call upon all the time. One does not know when and how things are going to pay off, but I am absolutely certain that everything does. So no matter what's going on in your life right now, know that it is helping you build your social and creative capital in ways that may not be clear to you, but absolutely is the truth. Absolutely. Quick thing I do want to refer to in this particular book. It's pretty good. Written by a guy named John Acuff. There are several life strategies here, starting with punch fear in the face. Because if you're going to get started with anything, be it a hobby, a career, a relation, getting in or out of a relationship, you know, it's kind of similar energy, important awarenesses. If you're going to start anything, there are predictable steps. And the first one becomes to punch fear in the face. This is not a book that advocates violence of any kind. Nor do I. But here are a couple of strategies that he ascribes to the activity of punching fear in the face. This is how you do it. One, answer the question, what do my voices of fear and doubt tell me? Every time you bump into one, write it down. What do my voices of fear and doubt tell me? Every time you bump into one, write it down. You know they're all going to be the same for everybody. I'm not enough. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have the degree. I don't have enough money. You know, there's going to be a dirty dozen that are going to be the same for everyone. And this leads to the next point, after you answer the question, what do my fears tell me? Number three is mock each fear as you write it down. If you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100, you have this opportunity on a daily basis. I can't do this. I'm too tired. I'm too old. I'm too young. And they are all boring. You know, the only piece of original wisdom that I have to offer is that there's no such thing as a good excuse. They're all pathetic. There are no good excuses. They're all immaterial because somebody has overcome every single one of these stories. Somebody. Millions of people are overcoming every one of these stories. What do my voices of fear and doubt tell me? Mock each fear and write it down. So many great lessons from Glinda the Good Witch in the movie, not the book, but the movie of The Wizard of Oz. Glinda is always there to mock, specifically mock, the Wicked Witch of the West. She is so dismissive of the Wicked Witch. Every time the witch approaches Dorothy and really scares Dorothy, Glinda leans right over her shoulder and whispers in her ear, it is Dorothy's own divine self speaking, saying, you have no power here. And that great line, be gone before someone drops a house on you. Be gone. Right? She mocks her. She's got that silly laugh, so we don't take it as powerful truth. But it's really, really important. Everything that Glinda says to Dorothy, every brave, starting, wise, adventurous impulse Dorothy has is given voice by Glinda, including at the very end, you had the power all along. You just needed to do something to convince yourself that you were, as we say, that you were perfect, you were whole, and you were complete all along. This is very simple and most demanding. Most demanding. Number three, once you're laughing at your fears, make them face the truth. Everyone will laugh at me if I tell them my dream, he writes. What? Who laughs, really? Nobody. Nobody, when you tell, as a grown-up, when you're saying, you know what, I'm devoting myself to achieving this next. If you wanted to share it with somebody, I can't imagine anybody that wouldn't say, good on you, go for it. Go for it. But we'll wait decades. This is almost enough. There are 10 things, and they're all commentaries on these three basic things. But what do the voices of fear and doubt tell me? Mock each fear as you write it down. After that, write what the truth is. People will laugh at me if I share my ambition. People will admire me for having gumption. People will admire me, look up to me, because I am daring to not stay stuck in same old, same old. That's always going to be the truth. I will tell you one very short story, very, very short, to illustrate this time when I felt this most acutely. And I know that some folks in this congregation share this experience with me. But while I was a mixologist, I was also drinking a great deal. And I thought, if I stop drinking, I won't have my friends anymore. Now, that's a big deal. And that's a big deal for those who might remember if they had a coming out experience of one kind or another, including coming to this ministry. My family will not talk to me if I no longer go to a Baptist church. And what one finds when one finally does take that step is that the most important people are there. And they've always been there. We get so clouded and deluded. You know, perhaps the most important part of starting over again and punching fear in the nose, the first thing might have to be to stop hurting yourself. And so many of us have behaviors or thoughts that are harmful. So the first line of the Hippocratic Oath is to first do no harm. And I always like to add that. Actually, it's not in this book. But first, do no harm. And get that behavior and those thought patterns under control. Television, debting, substance abuse of one kind or another, online shopping. Get that under control. And then move into this. Pick something, please. Because, you know, the fear will always be with us. But if you want a life that's really going to be worth it and fun and satisfying and in becoming that, you become a blessing to the whole world. We really got to start today, right now. You got to plant seeds right now, today. It is so worth doing. One dramatic representation, and then we're complete. After the service, our practitioners are always honored to treat with you, to pray with you. If there's something that maybe today you're afraid of, or something that you want to get going in your life, so please make sure that you take advantage of that. But I need to get a prop. So hold the phone here for a second.
punch fear in the face. Please feel free to use this hideous creature to do so, and the lovely Ernesto will demonstrate. Wait a minute.
That's there for your use. So you can do that too. So, Ernesto, if you would take that out to the lobby, please. And maybe Officer Drew can... punch fear in the face and then pray. That's the best advice I got for you today. All right. God bless you, friends.